Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this next question I'm going to ask is not meant to embarrass anybody or do anything like that. It actually helps me every now and again to figure these things out. All right. So if you would please raise your hand if you remember hearing our gospel story before. The story of Jesus turning water into wine. Oh, yay! Yay! All right, raise your hand if you don't remember it or think this might have been the very first time you heard it. All right. You see, there are lots of times in my life when I'm convinced that all of you know all of these stories like I do. That you have all been reading them every year for the last 34 years, looking to preach sermons on them. Right? Or that you sometimes even care about the weird insights that I discover in them or something like that. But the truth is that all of the stories that we read together here in worship, they're incredible, they're amazing, and they're challenging. And then they also confront us with ways to help our faith to grow. And so our gospel story today, this story of Jesus changing water into wine, is also called by John the Gospel writer the first of the signs that Jesus does in his ministry. This is the first time in John's Gospel when Jesus reveals a little bit of who he is, and John tells us the disciples believed in him. But what happens, though? You've all heard this story before. You kind of know it. All right? If it's your first time, you might not remember what I just read. But in this story, we are in Galilee. Now, if you think about it, Galilee is kind of like the state in which Jesus lived. All right? He lived in the town of Nazareth. And so in our story, we're in another town, Cana, in Galilee, to be specific. All right? And there's a wedding there. Now, Mary, Jesus' mother, is invited. Jesus and some of his followers are also there, which makes me think that this could be a family wedding on Mary's side of the family, okay? One of Jesus' cousins or something like that. Now, while they're at the wedding, they run out of wine. Now, this is actually a bigger deal than we might think about. Because a wedding feast in Jesus' day was a multi-day affair. And unless this was at the tail end of day three, running out of wine is a bad idea. So Mary comes and tells Jesus that they've run out of wine. Jesus' comment is, "It's not yet my time." Really cryptic, all right? But then Mary tells the servants to do whatever it is that Jesus tells them to do. And so Jesus tells them to fill the empty purification jars, 20 to 30 gallon jugs, and then take what they find in there to the steward. They do that. And the steward scolds the groom for keeping the good wine until later. This is a sign, as John calls it. It's a sign that's meant to make Jesus manifest, to show him as one chosen by God, loved by God, meant to save and redeem us and bring us all hope for tomorrow. The question is, how does this do that? How does rescuing a wedding reception do any of that? How does changing water into wine show us the love of God and then help us to go out and love and serve our neighbors? Personally, I think that this story in John's gospel is a lived parable. Now, we know that Jesus taught using story parables. We have the weeds in the wheat or the prodigal son. We've listened as Jesus' parables include comparing the kingdom of God to mustard seeds or pearls of great price, where he describes the kingdom of God as finding some coins or some sheep and even describing it as a great banquet. Now, each of those parable stories, they give us something to ponder, to contemplate. These parables teach us insights into God's love and goodness, reminding us of God's faithfulness and God's grace. So then this story, The story of Jesus changing water into wine seems to be a parable that Jesus is living and not just telling. The kingdom of God can be like a bridegroom who runs out of wine in the middle of his feast. A guest tells the servants to refill the empty purification jars with water and take it to the steward. When the steward tastes the water, now turned to wine, he scolds the groom for saving the best for last. That would be kind of how the parable goes. But we can do to this story the same kind of things that we do with parables. Because there are many places in both the Old Testament and the New Testament where the relationship between God and humanity is compared to a marriage. We had it in our first reading from Isaiah today. And so then from Hosea to Isaiah, from the Song of Solomon to the book of Revelation, we hear and we see this comparison about our relationship with God. It's described as a marriage to describe the intimacy that God enjoys with us and the intimacy that we can enjoy with God. So it is no stretch to see that there is something important going on in this story. As we look at the marriage feast and we look at Jesus' part in it. Because in the midst of this marriage feast, they run out of wine. In the shorthand of Jesus' day, no wine equals no joy. The celebration itself is in jeopardy, but that can also then mean perhaps that the relation itself is in jeopardy. Because as I said earlier, this is no small problem. Now, truth be told, in the relationship between God and God's people, there is no joy for many of the people in Jesus' day because some think that they're in control. They believe that they can stand in judgment over their neighbors. All of the rituals and the regulations that meant originally to celebrate God's closeness to us have become ways to keep God at arm's length or more. They are used as hurdles to clear, as stepping stones to navigate, as rules that must be followed. No joy, only obligation. And you see, this is what those purification jugs represent. These jugs have been used by the guests to fulfill their ritual washing, to ensure their cleanliness, and to ensure their right to be at the celebration. Almost 200 gallons of water used up, and now the jugs are empty, tapped out. Now there is no way to regain the cleanliness, no way to repair the broken relationship. There is no joy. And so this is the situation that Jesus is in at the wedding feast, but it is also the situation that Jesus is entering into concerning the relationship between God and God's people of his day. God's people are drifting farther and farther away from the instruction to love God and love your neighbor. They're getting more and more bogged down in regulation and requirements. They're no longer listening for God. And so Jesus enters into that situation with love and grace, with forgiveness, life and salvation for all. He fills those jugs, not so that the requirements may continue, but instead that we might now all have a reason to celebrate. The marriage feast continues with new wine and with new expectations. Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, who lives among us, has transformed despair into joy, into hope for tomorrow. So if we look at this story as a lived parable, we can now see this event as a sign. As Jesus marks the transformation of the despair of our lost cause in earning God's love and achieving our own righteousness, he transforms that into the joy of God's grace pouring down on us and drawing us into celebration. If we can look at that and see that, then we see a sign worthy of that designation, a sign just like giving sight to a man born blind or raising Lazarus from the dead. Because in this moment, Jesus is declaring to all who might see that God's love is greater than the despair of running out of wine, the despair of running out of ways to earn God's love. Now, it may not be as large a group as feeding 5,000. It might just be his mother Mary, whichever followers were with him, and the servants who filled the jugs. But they see that something incredible happens. And we know it because we have this story. And so for us, we know that something incredible has happened. Jesus, Emmanuel, who represents God fully and completely, wishes for us to continue to celebrate the righteousness of God, continue to celebrate the forgiveness of God, continue to celebrate the love of God that flows to us through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So may the presence of Jesus fill us, and may we go into the world celebrating God's love and goodness, sharing the love that we receive with all we meet. Amen.